My name is Greg Zonnefeld. I am the Director of Advancement at Central Wisconsin Christian in Waupun. We are a preschool to 12 school with 337 students. We match our all-time high this year, so that's why that number I can just rattle off just like that. I've been there 27 years. I started by teaching middle school, then I went to the high school, taught for 1 year, and was high school principal and development director and athletic director, and then I've been doing just advancement for about the last 13 or 14 years that my focus is 5/8 of my job is advancement, and I still teach, coach, and I'm athletic director. So small school, many hats, and that kind of thing. But I'm pretty passionate about this idea of how do we take a team approach to some of this work of advancement. So I just want to, we have a small group, so it's very easy for us to just tell a little bit about your school and what you are doing now, and that will dictate a little bit of the direction that we maybe go as we start. So we'll start right up here.
So Luke and I actually go to the same school.
Okay.
And I'm principal, and he's our tech guy, STEM teacher. He teaches elementary and middle school. And Luke, feel free to jump in. You've been at the school longer than I have. This is my second year at the school. The school has experienced some really healthy growth. Because most of Northwest Indiana has really been growing pretty rapidly, and so the school, about 12 years ago, we were able to build into this campus. We were nomads for the first 20 years, bouncing in different churches and things like that. And now we're in our own site, and probably in that 10 years, we've put about 5 additions onto the campus. And gone from about 200 kids to about 725. So there's been some growing pains and all of that, and you know, you're just trying to kind of keep up with the physical space. And you know, we're still having some conversations about physical space. And so things like recruiting and advertising has probably been something that has not been on the school's radar much because we have not felt like we really needed to, just because of the growth that we've had. Now, we're now at the point where some of our largest 8th grade classes, for example, are now graduating. And so, you know, as those large classes begin to graduate, you've got to be able to bring in as many kids, give or take, right? In order to kind of keep the trajectory moving or things like that. So, but these types of topics are always relevant.
Sure. Okay. Let's go right up here. Just tell us a little bit about your school and maybe what are you at with advancement.
Sure. So I'm Deb Miller. I'm a principal at Orkula Christian in Zealand. Our school is preschool through 8th, and we have about 205 students. Our school has been experiencing a little bit of growth over the last probably 4 to 5 years, but I've only been there, this is my second year. There is not a lot done, or has not been a lot done at our school in terms of promotions or advancement. We have a promotions committee that's made up of some parents and some board members. And one or two staff members will visit the meeting periodically, but it's very disjointed, very unorganized. There's no clear goals with that promotions committee. So, and they've had a lot of turnover in administration. So there really has not been any sort of strategic planning in advancement at all. So that's kind of why I'm here.
All right.
Hi, I'm Mary Ellen Schrock. I am a principal at Oaxaca Christian School in Oaxaca, Mexico, a school for missionary kids. And we are in a unique situation where we teach to missionary kids, so the missions community is only so big, but I will say it's always changing. Families go home on furlough for a year, come back, and so, you know, family of 5 kids, wow, there goes our, you know, a good chunk of our school population. We have a school board, a parent-run school board. You know, we're just a work in progress. I'm not a trained principal. I'm an art teacher. And I'm filling a gap until, well, at least for a couple of years, hoping that and praying we'll find a long-term principal to come.
Good.
So I'm here to learn whatever I can.
Super.
We have 14 kids.
Okay.
I'm just here to learn. We have more than 26 kids, and we really need to start getting some numbers.
Where are you listed?
Unity Christian Moments. For some reason, God wants us there. Yep. We've been thriving for almost 40 years, but we do have to start getting us.
I am John Heisman. I teach sixth grade at Hudsonville Christian Middle School. So I'm not really part of the advancement at all. I'm here to be a chairperson. I have 40 years, but.
Well, you actually are part of advancement. Because one of the things we're going to talk about is that, okay, our school, though we are smaller, made an investment a number of years ago to say we're going to make hiring someone to do advancement a priority. For a while, it was our superintendent who did that, and then we did some role shifting, and that's when I kind of moved into that. But sometimes I think we often feel like MacGyver, all right? You put your face here. We need to take whatever tools we have, because whether we have 14 kids, 300 kids, 700-800 kids, or wherever in between, budgeting for advancement is not something Christian schools do really well. Independent school management would say, at a minimum, your budget should include 10% for promotions, development, etc. My school does not do that. And my guess is a lot of schools don't. But 10% is usually considered on the low end of what you should be doing to grow your school, but more importantly also to maintain what you have. So what I want you to do, we just did this, is we're going to look at a couple things on foundation. So this is 27 years of kind of analyzing, thinking about this, doing a lot of reading. I think one thing you need to look at is you look at this whole advancement idea, whether it's enrollment, whether it's capital campaigns or whatever, is you really need to look at this as a work of ministry to your constituency. The best thing we can do for those that support our school is connect them with an opportunity to experience the blessing of giving, whether that is financially, but even more importantly, their time and their talent. And resist this transactional approach, okay, that I'm going into this to get something out of that donor or from that parent or whatever. If you do this in a transactional way, my belief is God's not going to give you the depth of blessings that he would if you look at it as a transformational activity. So when I sit down with my friend Sam, who's one of my donors, it's about my relationship with Sam. It's about my relationship with Bill and Helen, if I'm meeting with Bill and Helen, and how can we talk about what's best for the school. If I'm engaging a staff member to come alongside in the work that we're doing, let's work on this together for God's kingdom. And this is a challenge. Number three is a big challenge, especially if you have 14 students or if you have open classrooms and all these open seats. We need to approach this with a mindset of not what we don't have, but what we do. And we're going to talk about assets here in a little bit. But the mindset needs to be, God can bless my school, or I would say my ministry or whatever it is, with abundance. Because God is not a God of meagerness. I serve a God of abundance. And there is more than enough finances out there to fund every single Christian ministry that the kingdom needs. Okay, the funds are there. The students are there. It's a matter of how do we get those connected and go that way. And remember that funds and students follow vision. So as administrators, as leaders, as I challenge our board often, to say, do we have a compelling mission, vision, and quality product? Do we have something compelling that makes parents want to send their kids to fill the seats that we have in our building? To make donors want to share their dollars with us? To build relationships? To give people a reason to come to Crown Point Christian, even if it's just to a concert? Is there something there that they would want to do? And finally, our goal is always to create enfolded investors. Our board hears me say that a lot. Our staff hears me say that a lot. At Central Wisconsin Christian, we want investors, not consumers. And we don't want them to come in and out of Hudsonville Christian for 8 years to consume the education, and the only way that they're connected is because their kids in the school. We want to deepen that relationship so that even after their kids have gone on to Unity Christian and on to Grand Valley State and whatever, that they have made an investment because they felt a part of the school. So each of your schools is different. I gave you a little sheet, the second handout I gave you, and I want you to take about 1 minute and look at those different areas and order those of priority for your school. One of the things I want to leave you with is that your brains have worked on something that you can take out of here with you as you go and maybe even use with your boards, etc. So if you look at those six areas, number those in the area of priority for your school. Give you about 30 more seconds to think about that. Okay, now, what I encourage schools to do, and I've done some consulting with schools, is I think every year, as a board or as a leader, you need to look at how this fits your school in the given year. And over the life of your school, this is going to change. Again, the one that we most often think about is this idea of student advancement. Because what is your number one source of revenue in your school? Tuition. Right? Tuition. So if you have 14 kids and you can grow from 14 to 17 kids, that those three seats of tuition is important. If you have 700 kids and you're graduating four sections and you want to replace four sections, each one of those tuition dollars is important, those seats that are there. Depending on the stage of where you're at, we at our school are very reliant on what's called gap fundraising. Okay, because our budget is about 74%. So this is a high priority for us. And now we're in a capital campaign as well. So that becomes a high priority.
Can you say that one more time? What's that, 74%?
74% of our budget comes from tuition.
Yeah, okay.
26% comes from non-tuition income. Okay, that used to be a little higher. We gradually tried to stretch that a little bit. So that puts on us an advancement, a little bit of pressure when it comes to our auction, our thrift store, our annual fund, which are our three biggest things that we get funds from.
How is your thrift store funds used?
Directly into the general fund budget. So, and for us, that's about 200, and right now we budget at $220,000 a year for that. And then we get our auction budgets at $140,000 and our annual fund budgets at $140,000. our Giving Tuesday is kind of our main focus on that. Okay, so that puts some real, I'll say, I call it positive pressure. You know, we've been able to lower the amount of budget because we know we've been able to exceed those goals. But that will determine how you structure some of these other things, much less public relations and estate planning and church relations and alumni, which are all things that you're going to need to prioritize. What are the most important things as you go? So you need to kind of do your needs assessment. Okay, I talked about tuition gap, open seats. What are your capital needs? Okay, what are your capital needs? What do you need a new roof on your building? And how are you going to go about paying for that new roof? Do you have a capital replacement fund? Well, do you have a bus replacement fund? You know, what about debt reduction? I always, my joke is that's not a very sexy give when you go to talk to donors. But if you're the people in your constituency that are probably 55 and older, that debt reduction is really, really important. Some of your younger donors, your younger parents are like, oh, debt? Oh, not that big a deal. But you know from a budgeting standpoint, it can be. Do you have a sustainable future for your school? What is the plan 5 years, 10 years, and 20 years down the road? How are we going to do that? Raising community stature. Okay? Do people know who you are in your community? What if Borculo Christian closed tomorrow? Would people miss you? Okay? Would the neighbors miss you? Do they see Crown Point Christian as an asset in the community? That like, wow, this is a really important part of our community. We rely on Crown Point Christian to provide X, Y, or Z. And then how do you energize that constituency that you have? So one of the things that that I think is good for us to always look at is to think about what are your assets? Because again, not all of you can have a director of advancement. But all of you have assets in your community. So I want you to take a little bit of time and think about, we're going to talk about mobilizing the things that you have. Who are the top 10 servers in your constituency? Okay? If you needed 10 people to help you get something done at your school.
That's our whole
population. Well, they might be grandparents. Okay? These might be grandparents. These might be alumni, former teachers, current teachers. If you needed 10 people right now because you're going to have this brand new duct tape event, and you need 10 people, put down those 10 people that you would ask. And board members. Give you about one more minute. so.
Yeah, he was pretty connected with the store mostly.
Yeah. Okay, so think about those 10 people. Think about those 10 people. If we're going to do, and this is even if you have an advancement office, if you're going to broaden the mission or broaden the exposure of your school, these 10 people are going to be key people, whether they're helping you with this event or no matter what they are doing. These are your ambassadors. These are your best people to get things done and to talk about your school. Sometimes you can put these people into one of these categories, and some of them fit both. Some of them fit both. Passion peddling moms. Okay? Passion peddling moms are my number one favorite people to help with your school, because the number one way to promote your school is not a website, an advertisement, or anything else. It's word of mouth marketing of a passion peddling mom who tells another mom, "I'm so excited about what's happening at Orthodox Christian because da 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 da," and on they go. Now, not that we as dads or guys can't do that, but moms have this special ability to tell others about their kid and about good things that are happening. Now, the reverse can also be true. So one thing I always challenge our staff members is you need to be connected with those moms of your students. You need to be listening to those moms of your students. You need to be sensitive to those moms of your students, because your teachers have a role, and that's a whole other thing we could talk about in a workshop, is your teachers have a role in re-recruitment every single day of every single year. Because every parent in your school has an option that is free for them, for their kids' education, that they could walk away tomorrow from your school. And they could walk away tomorrow from Crown Point Christian and go to Crown Point Elementary or Middle School. They could walk in and tell you that tomorrow morning, and it's free. And they're gone. And it's very hard to get them back. Rock solid legacy families. In our building, if you walk into the front door of our building, on the wall is a picture from 1948 of the groundbreaking of Waupun Christian Elementary School. Okay? It's an amazing, incredible picture. On that picture, there are two gentlemen still living. Both of them have great-grandkids in our school. And every day when I walk in, I look at that picture and I say, "God, it's their vision that we're carrying out." We did our 2010 capital campaign. There were six of them alive, and I got to sit and have coffee or lunch with each of them individually. And their stories, they're like, "Well, we didn't do this feasibility study thing that you're doing now. We didn't go through all this capital campaign study. We got together after church, had coffee, and then went to the bank and borrowed the money together." But you have in your school, no matter the age of your school, you have these rock-solid legacy families who are second, third, fourth generation. Or they are so dedicated to the school that no matter what would happen, they're going to be supportive of your school.
That's why we're still open.
And that's why you're still open. Right. Okay? Those people are assets to you. Okay? They're assets to you. Find ways to connect and use them. Exuberant newbies. These are people, I love these people that come through for admissions interviews. Because they're like, they get in the school and they're rocking and rolling and they're just like, "This is the most awesome place ever." I remember a mom that we had worked with for probably 2 years had been inquiring to CWC and inquiring, and so much that I had her number, you know, saved on my phone. The first night of school, I get home from, during soccer practice, I see a call from this mom, and I'm like, I better take it. So I'm out on the soccer field, and yeah, hello, this is great. And this mom is crying on the other end of the phone. And I'm like, okay, what's this going to be? And she says, great, my kids had the most awesome day today. My little second grader came home and said, Mom, Jesus was in, we talked to Jesus before school started, and Jesus was in science class, and Jesus was in math class, and Jesus was what we prayed to before lunch, and Jesus was in social studies, and Jesus is all over my school. Thank you. That mom became an exuberant newbie. Okay? I think of Steve and Beth, who sent their fourth and fifth grade daughters from a town 15 minutes away into our school and became our most vocal advocates, one of the best board members I've worked with in 27 years. And he came; his kids came to our school because his wife didn't want them in the public school. And he was very skeptical for about 2 months. And all of a sudden he says, now I don't care what it would cost. I want my kids there. And he lives in another state now. He still comments on almost every Facebook post that we put out. And people that he knows, he's encouraging them from another state to be a part of our school. You have a talent pool in your school. Okay? You have moms and dads who are good writers, who may be a web designer, who have different abilities and connections. Find out how to use them. You have articulate staff members. We just did a capital campaign video for our current project. We have one of our middle school teachers. We're doing the video setup, and we said we're gonna have this video crew come in. And she goes, please don't ask me to be in the video again. And I said, you're in the video because you're a rock star. Okay? You have teachers who can just articulate what Christian education is about, what your vision for the school is about, what kids are about. Use those staff members whenever you can. If you have a chance to go to the Lions Club and talk about what's happening at your school, take that staff member along. Take that articulate kid along who can share why your school is so awesome. Connections to OPM. How many of you know what OPM is? Other people's money. Other people's money. Okay? People outside of your normal constituency who can connect you to people who might give to a product. I'll use our auction as an example. So one of our businessmen 5 or 6 years ago challenged him to connect with some of his suppliers to help support the auction. So I wrote a letter for him to send to his suppliers. He happened to be on our board. I'm an advocate of this school. My kids have gone to this school. Da, 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 da. That has kind of mushroomed. So now his suppliers this year gave our school about $15,000 toward our auction. He sends out about 40 letters. They come back to them. We make a pledge card for them to give however much. And that dollars all forms base cash numbers for our auction. Okay, how can we get connected to people who typically aren't giving or typically wouldn't give necessarily to XYZ Christian school, but because Bill is asking them to support a ministry that means something to him, now they're doing that. Now we're starting to spread those fingers out to some of his buddies, Bill's buddies now. He's saying, hey, you know what? I do this. Maybe you should do that. And so we'll see once where that can go. But always looking for connections to dollars. And then, who in your school is respected in your broader community? Okay? Who in your school is respected in your broader community? And how can you use their access and their platform, so to speak, to be there? We have a new mayor in Waupun about 3 years ago. She comes to our auction. She comes to our Veterans Day thing. She's on her blog talking about, how cool it was, what happened at CWC. Okay? She's an advocate. Now, her kids are all out of school, but she's an advocate for us. Who are other advocates that you can have? Our city manager sends his kids to CWC. He's an alum. So when we see that there's something big going on in the city, we're retweeting or putting that on our Facebook page with his name, class of 04. Don't put that right out there. Anytime you have alums that do something that you're putting through your social media channels, instead of just putting out their name, Deb Miller, and if Deb Miller is a graduate, put their graduation year behind that. It recognizes the fact that people are a part of your school. So you all have these assets in your school. The question is, how do we utilize them? Let's see, where are we at? 1:30.
Okay, we're good.
Here's another quick top 10 for you. Hopefully this is really easy. I want you to think about what are 10 great things about your school that you want others to know about. This is a great activity for your staff, by the way. For your board, even better. Sometimes the first six or seven of these are really easy. It's the next three. You can ask your kids about these too. Ask your students. Put this on a social media post. Tell me great thing. One or two great things. We're compiling a top 10 list of the best things about DEF Christian School. Okay. Help us do that, parents. Okay. It's kind of interesting if you do this activity with the staff or with your board or whatever. You begin to kind of create this profile of who you are, or at least who you think you are. You ask this of kids. We do an exit activity with our seniors every year. They have to write a paper, and one of the things they have to talk about is, would you or wouldn't you send your kids someday? And why? Or why not? Some really cool things that come out of that. But then asking your alumni. We survey at 1, 5, and 10 years our high school alumni and ask them the same kind of question. You know, what are the things about your CWC experience that you've taken into life? Or what are some great things, or what were some things we can do better? Never say what wasn't good. You always phrase that positively. What was great and what could we do better? Can help you decide kind of where this is. You know, define who you are. Define who you are. And kind of look at where you can go with that. Now, this is something that you don't need an advancement person to do. That promotion committee that you have. This is a great starting point to say, what kind of message do we have that is a positive thing that we can send out to other people? Like I said, we haven't done it now in a while, but with your staff, you know, staff morale. What are we excited about what's happening in our school? Or are we like, eh? You know, what's great about what we're doing? And then build on that. Okay, any questions or comments about that? There's a few things I think that are some essentials, and I gave you a sheet with these on. Some essentials that can help you as you go about some of this work of advancement, no matter what those six areas were that you identified that are most important. A really big one is an active segmented database. Okay, your school's fairly young. How old is Colonel Point?
31.
31 years. Borkulo?
60.
48. Start out
with a couple kids.
Okay. 30. Okay. And 100. Okay. So getting together an active segmented database, whether you're using a software to do this or whether you've got it in a good Excel spreadsheet, but where you are keeping track of where people are now that at one time were in your school. Whether it's fundraising or public relations or enrollment or whatever, having this is a really, really important thing. And it's hard work to maintain it. It's way harder than it used to be. Because about 5 or 6 years ago, you could still go to anywho.com and find anywho. Okay? You can't. There aren't phone books anymore. There aren't those kind of databases. It's harder and harder to get cell phone numbers and email addresses and that kind of thing. So this takes some work, but this can kind of be the backbone. If you're fundraising, this is a huge backbone of your information. If you're staying connected with alumni, this is a really, really big thing. Now you've got 100 years of history at Hudsonville Christian. Okay, keeping track of who's alive and who isn't. You know, our office people, whenever they hear that someone passes away, they know now that the first thing they should do is go into the database and mark that person deceased. Because if Mary's husband, Bob, has passed away, 3 months from now, if I'm sending a giving letter, I don't want to have us be a source of her feeling that again. She's going to have enough of those. So from CWC, that she's getting a letter that says, "Dear Mary." And then also letting me know, and if it's a local person, I'm writing them a handwritten note. On behalf of CWC, our hearts go out to you. And if it's someone we know well, you know, really getting connected and visiting them. But this database is really, really important. Online presence. Guess what? It's 2018. It's 2018. An online presence is not an option. Okay? Now, you can hear all kinds of different philosophies about how many layers deep should your web page be and that kind of thing. But I can tell you that 80% of the families who come to my office have already checked out their classroom teacher online. They've checked out the classroom teacher online. They even know what they look like because we have their staff picture there. And they'll say, because we'll be walking through and we'll meet a teacher and say, "Hi, how are you?" And they'll be going by and they'll go, "That was the second grade teacher, wasn't it?" Without me telling them that was the second grade teacher, because they know what the second grade teacher looks like. So online presence. Just did a webinar last week. The big question was, is Facebook going to disappear because all the young people aren't using Facebook, right? Nope. Stay on Facebook. Twitter is going downhill right now. Facebook is staying strong, even though younger people. The big suggestion now is Facebook and Instagram. Instagram. So we're starting to develop how we can do more messaging via Instagram, because that's what your youngest moms are on. And I'm mentioning moms a lot. Yeah, they're the decision maker for education. Dad's going to pay the bill, but I've had dads and moms sitting in my office many times where mom is all gung-ho, and dad will be like, are we going to afford it? Well, we'll get to that. That's always the elephant in the room. But if mom really wants this to happen, mom's going to get it to happen. Okay, but online presence, stay connected. Prayer warriors. This should probably be number one. Prayer warriors. Do you have parents or grandparents? And grandparents are a great group for this, who are committed to praying for your school every single day. And when you're going to have that big event, that open house, going back to those, 10 special people, or back to that list of different categories of people, we have some of these older ladies who I know they pray for us every day. I know they're praying constantly. Are they bathing your campaign to raise money to fix that roof in prayer? When we did our 2010 capital campaign, we had a prayer team of 10 people that, when we were making big decisions, like when the bid process was going on, they committed to praying for that bid process. The day before the vote, they committed to 8 hours, I think it was, of constant prayer among their team for that campaign. Sometimes I think we don't harness this kind of thing as much as what we could. Board support. Are your board members fully committed? Okay. Are your board members all in? Okay. Well, of course they are. They're board members. I'll ask the question again. Are they really, truly all in on Christian education and for your school? Are we looking at events with effective ROI, return on investment? Okay, now, that ROI is not necessarily financial. Okay? That is not necessarily financial. Your ROI might be, I use the word friend raiser a lot. Okay? Did you raise new friends of your school by that event? So when our auction is attended by 600 people, okay, if the best, obviously there's the financial part of the auction, but I never ever refer to the auction as a fundraiser. I always refer to it as a friend raiser. And our goal is to have 15% of our auction people that they're from the community and it's the only thing they attend all year. We track that on our attendees. That it's the only thing they come to all year at CWC. We want 15% of our crowd to have that be the only time that they come in our building for an event. They don't come to a concert, a basketball game, but they come as business people or as friends of people in our school that they're coming to the auction. That's an effective ROI because we've now had a chance to share just a brief feeling of what our community is like, and they've gotten a couple little one-minute elevator speeches about what's going on in our school. But how do we get them in the doors? Staff education. Right? Our administrator is consistently reminding our staff of their role in retention. Okay? Of their role in retention. Their role is, how can we keep the kids in the seat? How are we telling these people that if you think fourth grade is so awesome, wait till you get to fifth grade next year? Or if you think our middle school program is so good, wait till they go down the hall and go to our high school. Wait till they get to go take Mr. Hoffman for math. They're going to love high school. Sometimes we have a tendency to be semi-competitive because, after all, I want my kids to love me more than any other teacher that they had. Okay, but no, we want them to have this global idea that this school is the best place and the best thing that we could do. Okay, so a few things of how to raise your visibility. These are not rocket science. Okay, I'm not a rocket scientist. We have a teacher who is a rocket scientist, but that's not me. Okay, so demographics will dictate. Your communities are all different. Okay, Borculo's how big? It's small. Okay, so in Borculo, does everybody know everybody?
Pretty much.
Pretty much. Pretty much. In Crown Point, does everybody know everybody? Not even close, right? Hey, not even close. Draw a 20-mile circle around your school. Okay? Draw a 20-mile circle around your school. Is your name recognized in that 20-mile circle? And we went through an identity crisis as a school a little bit. We merged in 1997, Waupun Christian School and Central Wisconsin Christian High School. All right? Most people knew of us as Waupun Christian. So we worked really hard to get our CWC moniker out there. Everything we put out was CWC. If we saw it in the paper that our basketball team had a game and they wrote Waupun Christian 62, Horicon 48, I dropped a little note to the newspaper guy and I said, by the way, we're not Waupun Christian. We're Central Wisconsin Christian. Now there's a whole other issue with our name because we're not really in Central Wisconsin, but that's who we are. Okay, so we really worked hard at that identity. Find out what your demographics are. Find out how you can get yourself recognized, get your brand recognized there. Your current attendees. Okay, we talked about those excited parents. Your current attendees are not only your greatest asset, yes, but potentially, if we aren't nurturing and working with them, they could also be your greatest liability. They could also be your greatest liability. So Michael's job is to say, how can I, you know the parents that are dissatisfied. Okay? At least hopefully your teachers are telling you, hey, you know what, this parent, I don't know how happy they are. They might talk about not coming back. Are they bringing that to you? Not so you can just smooth everything over. You have to have some real conversations with them. Okay? You have to have some real conversations with them. How do you work to help them through that? You know what? Conflict is not a bad thing. There was an article not too long ago about, we talked about helicopter parents. I don't know if you saw the article about lawnmower parents. Okay? Instead of floating over our kids, let's just get the lawnmower out and let's cut the path for them. Hey, kids, that's not healthy for kids. It's not healthy for kids. We put that out on our social media, and we had a couple moms call up. What that was? I was very offended by that. And it's like, you know, we're just giving you information, okay? But yeah, one mom, she was really. I'm not one of those, but I was really offended by that article. Okay. Okay, so, but how do we help parents, and how do we harness the power of word-of-mouth marketing? A friend of mine is Rick Newberry. If you want somebody to follow on Twitter or on Facebook, follow Rick Newberry. He came in and did an enrollment management process with us for about a year. He consulted with us. Really, really good stuff on that whole idea of importance of word-of-mouth. Well worth every dollar we spent on that. Again, the digital world. Web page, Facebook, top two. Twitter, I love Twitter personally. I love it for information and things like that. There's a lot of good people to follow. If you follow me on Twitter, I'm retweeting things on advancement, enrollment, and that kind of thing. Instagram, I'm a newbie to that. I don't get all that so much, being the digital immigrant that I am. And LinkedIn. Kind of supposed to be an emerging thing for schools. I've done a couple little workshops on LinkedIn and education and how you can use that. I think LinkedIn has the most potential when it comes to the fundraising side of advancement. Finding out who the connections are with your people. Okay? But it's out there, and it's the other thing great about Facebook ads is that you will not find a cheaper way to advertise. You know, we dumped newspaper ads a lot of years ago. They still call, oh, this is Gannett, Wisconsin. We want to know if you want to buy an ad in the Final Act Reporter. No, I'm not going to spend $600-$800 on an ad in one day or one week when I can Facebook ad left, right, and if you're not doing Facebook ads, it is honestly the cheapest way for you to promote your school. And you can define exactly who gets it, Even with the changes in Facebook, really the number one way to do that. Quality, quality, quality. This is a place where I think we as Christian schools have struggled some in the past. We have settled in our marketing and our advancement efforts for stuff that we put bad stuff out there. Okay? We have a very discerning public today. So they want to see, they don't want to see a blurry picture on the Facebook page and try to figure out who the kid is. And with this thing, you can take amazing pictures with your phone. My advancement assistant and I, we're taking pictures around the building all the time. That doesn't mean we're sending all of them out. But if I'm walking around the building and I see three kids sitting in the hallway working, I'm like, oh, I'll snap a picture of that. I might need that picture later. Whether I use it or not, beside the point. If it's I'm looking, oh, if it's blurry, I'm going to take another one. You can use something like Canva. It's a great free tool to develop Facebook posts or Instagram posts and things like that. Most of Canva is free. Okay? And they have all these pre-made layouts. You download your logo, put it on the side, change the words, put a picture in the middle. It's a very easy way for you to put stuff out that looks very professional with a grand total of $0 and 0 cents input on your part. And find a mom who loves that stuff. Okay? Check your moms who are big into Facebook. Those are the ones you want to say, hey, would you help us Facebook for the school? And you know which moms that Facebook a lot that you don't want Facebooking for the school too. Okay, but find the ones that are really positive. If you're on Instagram, find the ones that are really embedded in Instagram and say, hey, would you mind helping run our Instagram account for school? You know, most moms be like, yeah, I can do that. Because they're Instagramming all the time anyway. But make sure that you're getting some quality stuff out there. Become a community asset. Anytime a group wants to use our building for a community activity, come on down. Come on down. We host the senior expo every year in our Crusader Center. They were looking for a home. They came and the lady called me and said, yeah, we're looking for a new home. And I said, come on down. We'd love to have it. Well, really? It's during the school day. Don't worry about it. We'll make it work. They came and toured. They come in. We run about 850 senior citizens through our building in a day. Okay, they come in our entrance. We shut down hot lunch for the day. Say no hot lunch because they need that area. And they use our second gym and they're all set up for the expo. All those people are coming in and out of our building. Our Veterans Day assembly that we do every year is one of our most positive community asset things. I just talked to the head of the VFW because we're working on some details for this year's event. And ours is usually not, we don't do ours on Veterans Day. We do it just before, just after. He said, I'm really sad to tell you, you're the only school doing something this year. But that's okay because you're the best. Okay, if I run into one of these veterans guys, it doesn't matter where. My daughter's a senior and she's like, we'll be walking somewhere in town. She's like, oh boy, here come one of your veteran buddies, Dad. Because she knows that we're going to have to stand and talk for 3 or 4 minutes. But how can you have your building be a community asset? Get them into your school. Get them in beyond the gym. Okay, because they come to a, oh yeah, we know your gym. Offer to let them use one of your classrooms for a meeting for whatever group it is. So they come down the hall, and guess what? They walk down the hall, and they see all these biblical messages that are on the hallways of your school. I try to get them to walk as deep into our building as they can so that they're not using the first room, they're using like the fourth one down the hall. Well, why is that? Because we want them to see and do that. Find ways for your school to be an asset in your community. And again, every event is a fundraiser. Every single thing that happens in your building is a fundraiser. Get them to realize, hey, I'm at XYZ Christian. Oh, guess what? This group's going to meet. It's going to be at XYZ Christian. Ooh, that gets out there. That's getting your name out there, if nothing else. Since we started hosting more events, other groups are calling. Youth for Christ is going to do a training for their regional training in our cornerstone coming up in November. Now we have a big basketball tournament going on in the other end of the building. Oh, I saw that's on the calendar. Don't worry about it. Okay, we've got other parts of the building. So all these Youth for Christ trainers from about a 70-mile radius are going to come to our school. What are they going to see when they get there? I think they're going to walk into our school. Anyone who sees publicity about that, it's going to say our school. Blood drive. We have 3 blood drives a year that we host in our building. A very easy thing to use your school for. American Red Cross comes in, they do all the work. You're just providing them a facility. Might cost you a little bit of setup for your janitorial staff to do. We've said, you know, and we rent our building out to some organizations too, but some of these nonprofit type things, it's just good, positive ways for people to look at your school. This doesn't require you to have an advancement office. This doesn't require anything other than you making your facility available. So one of my goals for you as you leave today, I gave you a bunch of handouts, some little thought activities, is that you can take, no matter what size your school is, and create kind of an action plan of how you can take some of these things and maybe put them to work on some scale in your building. Maybe it's just asking your staff to list those 10 things that are great about our school. Maybe it's you have this idea for this new activity that you'd like to try at your school. It may fail. Be willing to have something fail. Okay? Even sacred cows need sacrificing once in a while. Hey, maybe you want to change up something that you've done for 20 years and try it in just a little different light. Who are those 10 people who can help you get that done? Okay. My email is there. I did leave some cards up there if you want that. Feel free. Do you have any questions for me? Okay. This is my number one goal for each of your schools, is that you can celebrate God's abundant blessings. Okay? Goes back to what we talked about way at the beginning. Have this attitude of abundance, that God can do amazing things at every single one of your schools, no matter how small you are. There are amazing things that God can do in that way. All right? Thanks for coming.
Thank you.